Hi, this is Ben Trefney, KALW's news director, and now is the time to support KALW. This is our spring membership drive, and we are asking for your support at KALW.org. Click the Donate Now button. Now, enjoy what we have to say.
Welcome back to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. It's understandable why many survivors of sexual abuse by Catholic priests choose to turn away from the faith altogether. But one man in Texas chose a different path, to use the teachings of the very church that wronged him in order to find forgiveness. But does anger have a place alongside forgiveness? Jake J. Smith reports.
When Miguel Prats revs the engine of his Harley Davidson, it might sound angry to some, but not to him.
When I'm on this bike, I literally feel surrounded by angels. Man, you know, you can be frustrated, you can be anything. You get on this and go for a ride and it just goes away.
Miguel is showing off his bike in a park in downtown Houston. It's a sunny day, he has a wide-eyed, happy-go-lucky demeanor. But he says 15 years ago, he was a different guy.
Wound up angry. I was just tortured inside, internally.
In 2002, when the Boston Globe uncovered widespread sexual abuse within the Catholic Church, the story brought back a memory that Miguel says he had repressed. How, shortly after he turned 18, he himself had been sexually abused by a priest. When this memory came back, Miguel got angry. So he went on the internet looking for someone to talk to. And what he found was this group called SNAP. You might remember them from the movie Spotlight. SNAP had helped the Boston Globe uncover the abuse scandal.
SNAP, Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, was the only thing out there for people like me.
In addition to organizing support group meetings and running a survivors hotline, it also took an activist role. It protested outside major Catholic events and helped survivors take legal action against the church.
So it was real strong and really a lot of angry people. And SNAP leadership took that energy, that negative energy, and focused it into giving the church what for, you know?
Here was an organization that could let Miguel put this anger that he was feeling into action. SNAP trained him in community organizing. And over the next couple of years, Miguel started 5 SNAP chapters across Texas.
I put 100,000 miles on my car in 1 year, traveling around Texas, yeah.
Miguel says this work felt good. He was keeping busy and getting justice. But inside, he was still not at peace.
Because that anger was still there, you know?
He was suicidal at times. Miguel says his face even looked different, twisted by rage. Much of this anger was directed towards the Catholic Church for its negligence, for covering up the abuse. But that wasn't all. He also felt conflicted because, as furious as he was, he missed the church. Miguel was raised Catholic. He had gone to Catholic school. He remembered the wonderful priests from his childhood and how comforted he'd once felt by his faith. Now he had mostly broken ties with the church. But Miguel still believed in God, and that spiritual connection was important to him.
You know, I would go to church occasionally, even in the darkest times. A lot of times I'd go when nobody was there, just to sit.
Most people in SNAP didn't understand why he would still want to go to a Catholic church. Miguel says they saw him as a traitor. So many of the victims considered the church the enemy. But Miguel wasn't so sure. And the more he worked as an advocate, the more he thought that, well, people like him should be working alongside the church to make sure more kids weren't abused. He decided to contact all of the Catholic bishops across Texas to see if maybe they'd be willing to join forces.
And he called to make an appointment with the Bishop of Tyler. And the Bishop of Tyler said, before I meet with him, I'd like you to meet with him.
That's Father Gavin Vaverick. He's a priest whose title is Promoter of Justice for the Diocese of Tyler. That's about 3 hours from Houston, where Miguel lives. Gavin is like a first responder for anyone who's been abused by a priest in the diocese. He's on call all the time, and he also serves as a sort of special prosecutor if someone wants to bring a priest before a Catholic tribunal. Father Gavin agreed to meet Miguel over breakfast. It was a bit tense at first. Miguel was suspicious of priests, and Father Gavin could sense it. But by the end of the meeting, Gavin had invited Miguel to observe a training session he was leading to teach other priests how to spot and handle abuse. Miguel tagged along.
Gavin would bang the podium and just make this big noise and scare everybody. And he would just, people, I'm telling you something important. Pay attention. And I was like, whoa, this is great. This is what we need in the church. We need priests, you know, telling people how important it is to protect children.
Miguel was impressed. This confirmed that maybe it was possible to work with the church to help survivors of abuse. And he sensed that maybe this could help alleviate his anger. He kept thinking about it until one day he figures out what he can do.
So I called Gavin up and said, can you get your boss and come to Athens and have dinner with me? I just want to break bread. And I didn't really tell him about any of my ideas.
And so Gavin and his boss, who's the Bishop of Tyler, agree to this mysterious dinner date. But they're uneasy about it. On the drive over, they're trying to figure out what on earth this guy from SNAP, an organization that's highly critical of the church, could want from them. Here's Gavin.
The bishop, at a certain point, we were talking about other things, and at a certain point, the bishop turns to me and goes, why are we doing this? I said, because the gentleman has been hurt, and we're trying to be accommodating and meet him where he's comfortable. And the bishop says, you know, this could be a trap. And I'm like, it could be, Bishop. They might have all kinds of media there. There might be all kinds of protesters there. But it's you and I, Bishop.
They show up to dinner, and it's just a nice dinner. No trap. But there is a surprise. Here's Miguel.
All of a sudden, I said, well, I guess y'all know I didn't invite you here just for dinner. I thought Father Gavin was going to have a heart attack. His face went pale, and he was like, oh, no, I dragged the bishop to this crazy guy's house.
And Miguel says, do you know Maria Gretti? And the bishop said, Saint Maria Gretti?
Here's the story of Maria Gretti as it's told among Catholics. Maria was an 11-year-old girl who lived in rural Italy at the turn of the 20th century. One day, her teenage neighbor, Alessandro Serinelli, made sexual advances towards her. When she refused, Alessandro spun into a rage. He stabbed her 14 times. But as she lay dying in the hospital, Maria said something kind of incredible. I forgive Alessandro, and I want him in heaven with me. Maria was canonized as a saint in 1950, making her the youngest Catholic saint to date. She's become known as the patron saint of, among other things, forgiveness. Shortly before arranging this dinner meeting, Miguel had heard Maria's story for the first time from an old friend, and it had inspired an idea in him that he now shared with Gavin and the bishop. What if they created a new kind of support network for survivors of abuse? It would be in collaboration with the Catholic Church. And the key thing? It would focus on healing and forgiveness rather than accountability.
And I thought, well, why don't we call it Maria Gretti Network and use her as a model of how to forgive? Because I really wanted to forgive, but I couldn't forgive, but I wanted to, because I was hurt. I was so hurting.
Gavin says the bishop took Miguel's idea to heart.
After the bishop and I got back to Tyler, he said, you know, I think there's something of the Holy Spirit in this idea for this support group. See if you can do something to help get that started.
The Maria Gretti Network held its first meeting in 2004, about a year after that dinner. They've had meetings every month since. Today, there are 5 chapters across Texas and 1 in Seattle, all of which meet in the libraries and conference rooms of the offices of local Catholic churches. They're what's called a lay apostolate. That means they cooperate with the church, but they aren't officially a part of it. For the last decade, these meetings have helped Miguel to forgive his abuser, and he's seen them work wonders on other people too. That's why Miguel's dream is to see chapters of this network in every parish someday.
So we have our table here with candy and Kleenex for and brochures and holy cards.
On a warm evening in March, Miguel is setting up for the monthly meeting in Tyler.
How many people are we expecting tonight? Any idea?
We never know. Yeah.
Here's how a meeting goes. Everyone goes around the circle, introduces themselves, and shares about how they're doing. Then the men and women split up and talk some more. There's no structured discussion. People are free to share whatever's on their mind. Sometimes they talk about their paths to forgiveness. Other times they just chat about their lives and families. At the end, everyone comes back together. They read some reflections on forgiveness. There are a few prayers, and then it's over. These meetings are strictly confidential, but several participants agreed to talk to me about their experiences on the record.
I'm Kathy Gomez.
Kathy has been part of the Maria Goretti Network for about 6 years. As a child, she was abused by family members. Today, she helps lead meetings in Kingwood, Texas, near Houston. She says it's helped her to better understand what forgiveness is really about.
Forgiveness, it cuts off that resentment. You're forgiving them. It does not mean that you are saying that it was okay that they did it. You know, if they need to go to jail, they need to go to jail. But what you are doing is saying, you know what, I'm not going to allow you to take up any more space in my head for free. I'm done, and this is over with, and I'm moving past. The forgiving is not for them. It's for us. And so that's the crucial part of the Maria Goretti Network.
Kathy says she has forgiven her abusers for what they did to her. But still, she has her moments.
I still have situations come up that are very painful, and I tend to go into self-pity. It's very easy. And then resent God for it. Like, okay, God, I've worked so hard in my recovery and in my healing process, and this is what you pay me back with? This is what I get? And so I was just in confession a few days ago, confessing my anger and resentment at God, and trying to let that go.
My name is Christopher Gallen.
Christopher was sexually abused by a priest hundreds of times as a child in Dallas. Like Miguel, he was furious at the church. He had stopped going to Mass when he was 16. But when Miguel asked him to come to a Maria Goretti Network meeting, he agreed, although it definitely wasn't easy for him to walk into a Catholic church again for that first meeting.
Well, actually, I didn't walk into the church. I met Miguel in the parking lot, and we walked in together.
At that meeting, there was a priest in the room, Father Gavin, who we heard from earlier. Seeing Gavin's Roman collar made Christopher pretty nervous, but he stuck around.
After we had the meeting, he offered, to give us an anointing for the sick. You know, I had not been anointed with oil in probably since confirmation or something like that, you know, 10 or 12 years old. I got that cold chill down my spine that I got the first time I received communion, that feeling that I had not had since I was a little boy.
Christopher kept going to meetings after that. Today, he calls himself a recovering Catholic. He doesn't go to Mass much, but he and his girlfriend actually want to get married in the Catholic Church.
That's a big step for me. That means going to Mass on Sundays. That means eating fish on Fridays during Lent. That means a lot of things.
All of which is to say, forgiveness isn't cut and dry. Father Gavin, the promoter of justice, actually thinks there might be a place for a righteous anger alongside forgiveness.
By a righteous anger, if one means that it's such as to motivate one to address an injustice and see to try to prevent the injustice happening again, absolutely.
But what about Miguel? He founded this network because he was tired of being angry. So does he still have moments of rage towards the church?
No, praise God, I don't.
He says that through the Maria Goretti Network, he's forgiven his abuser. In fact, he's now a devoted member of the church he once resented. He goes to Mass every Sunday, and then some.
Every time I get in my car, I have two rosaries hanging from the mirror. I say an Our Father and three Hail Marys.
But in talking to him, you can't help but notice. He also still says things like this.
If it's one thing I've learned is to be honest and transparent, because the church wasn't, you know? And so I will never be like the church.
So this is the thing I'm talking about, though. You know, you just said, I don't want to be like the church that you belong to.
Look, all I can tell you is I'm a Gemini. I think everybody has a good side and a bad side.
Forgiveness, Miguel says, is not the same as forgetting. Forgiveness means acknowledging the wrongdoing, but not letting it control your life. And it means finding peace, even with things that remind you of the injustice.
And when I'm on this bike, I literally feel surrounded by angels. I really do. I feel them. I feel them.
When he settled his case against the church, Miguel received $20,000. After he paid his lawyers, he bought this Harley with what was left. As Miguel takes off on his bike, his Harley roars its angry roar, and his choir of angels carries him safely away down the streets of Houston. For The Spiritual Edge, I'm Jake J. Smith.